Welcome to Cinema Savants, your weekly dose of movie news, movie reviews, and the occasional rumor, with your hosts, Todd Vandenberg and Rob Steele. And coming up in this week's show, the list of Oscar nominations. Not the whole thing, that would be boring. The list of Razzie nominations. No, that doesn't deserve to be read in its entirety. And the list of remakes that are getting remade without being nominated. But first, retaliation for the Star Wars shortening last week. I saw this, I think it was Wednesday, and I thought, absolutely brilliant. Last week we mentioned how there was a men's group who decided to remove all the women from Star Wars The Last Jedi. And it cut it down to about a 45-minute movie. This week, retaliation has kicked in. And in order to retaliate, or just to show how stupid an idea it was, there is now a men-free edition of Saving Private Ryan.
All right, then.
It clocks in with a massive runtime of 2.5 minutes.
I was going to say, it's the family.
It cuts all the men out. This was followed by a man-free edition of The Shawshank Redemption, which clocks in at a whopping 90 seconds.
Nice.
I'm not making these up. They are online. You can find them. You can find them in Twitter feeds. That's how short this is.
That's pretty brilliant.
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
I loved it.
That's awesome.
Because cutting women out of Star Wars is just stupid. Well, cutting women out of anything is just stupid.
Yeah, it's just stupid because, well, to begin with, none of us would be here. So let's start with the basics. Yeah, the whole, I don't quite understand the backlash. I was going to describe them as Neanderthals. And maybe that's what Neanderthals did. Maybe they cut out the women and that's why they're no longer with us. But yeah, I don't really want to insult their intelligence because they actually had a fairly large brain capacity. So I don't think they would be of the type to cut out women. Yeah, that's a brilliant response. Just like, okay, look how, and I can see this. Okay, I can see where there wouldn't be a ton of roles for women in a war movie and set in World War II. Since women, obviously, they went to war in the role of medics and things like that.
Both but grandmothers, actually.
Excellent. And as. But, you know, the point being they're going to be more male-centric, but there's certainly plenty of room for more female roles, even in those films, yes, than 2.5 minutes and 1.5 minutes. And it's just – that's just how society, unfortunately, is. So excellent response. That's awesome.
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, totally brilliant.
The only other Star Wars news I've got this week, and that's where I put this category because I had nowhere else to put this particular bit. The Han Solo movie is going to be released in China, but they're just going to call it Solo. They are not putting the words Star Wars with it.
Interesting.
Because as we mentioned last week, Star Wars The Last Jedi lasted 2 weeks in China because they never got episodes 1 through 7. So
that is mind-boggling to me that they were so ridiculously stupid to not set two reasons. They didn't bother to set the climate, let's say, to let people know, oh, this is what the story's about. And why would you bypass the chance to make some extra cash? I kind of think people would have paid money. I don't think they were going to release this for free, right?
I would not think so.
If nothing else, make a deal and release them on television there. I just don't get the incredible stupidity of releasing.
China is getting a lot of our money anyway. Maybe they just don't need it.
Yeah, that's just mind-boggling. It's like, oh, let's release this. I don't know, the seventh movie in a
Leonard
series.
Part six. How well did that go over?
Yeah, pretty well.
Yeah.
Same
concept, I think, only they actually did it. And you kind of go, wait, why?
Yeah.
Don't understand.
Kind of a
misstep. Something I do understand.
Yes.
Sense. Casey Affleck the one who gave me all this congestion. I'm blaming him this week.
Damn that bastard.
Yes, I know. Casey Affleck is not going to be presenting at the Oscars this year.
Nope.
Because there's apparently a tradition. Whoever wins best male actor introduces best female actresses next year, and you can switch that. He says he's not doing it this year because of sexual misconduct allegations against him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I get that.
Oh, I get that, too. I would probably be happier if he would do more to address the situation other than just not show up and expose himself. And I don't mean that as a pun, but take it how you want it.
But it's a good pun, so it'll do.
Yeah. To more conflict, more statements, put it that way. But you know, maybe the time to do that would be when he won last year, which he shouldn't have, because he frankly didn't deserve it, because Denzel Washington totally kicked everyone's ass in the acting department, but that's kind of an aside. The time to do something meaningful would have been to walk up and look at the Oscar and say, you know, I made some mistakes in my past. I can't accept this award, and then walk off. That would have made a bigger statement than, oh, I won't show up next year. Kind of like Steve Wynn, you know, railing about how, oh, these allegations are baseless, they're untrue, and then 6 hours, maybe 8 hours later, resigning from his post as finance chair of the Republican National Committee because, oh, these distractions are going to cause problems. Or you mean the distractions of your eventual trial, pig?
Hello.
And we've talked a lot about, you know, there in too many cases, there hasn't been justice hasn't actually run its course. It's just been allegations, accusations, boom, you're guilty. But when there are dozens and dozens over a period of decades, that's a little bit different. So, yeah, Casey Affleck, fine, don't show up. I mean, it's a smart move to not show up, but it would be smarter and more meaningful if you actually did something meaningful instead of just not show up to take your beating like you should. I would much prefer him stand up there and get booed.
I'll agree. Fitting punishment, almost.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably needs to be more, actually, but, you know, it's a start.
A start. Exactly. A start.
And that's a good way to start our 2018 Oscar nomination segment. Right?
Yeesh.
Yeah. Actually, I wanted to ask you this, because I know you're much more into the award stuff than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Best Picture, they used to say, here's the top three or top five movies, and that would be it. There's nine Best Picture nominations.
A few years ago, and if Lee had joined us, Lee would probably know off the top of his head, but a few years ago, they upped it to a maximum of 10, because there was backlash from so many films. Because when you just say, oh, there's only five possibilities, they felt that it had kind of reached the same thing as the college football playoffs. Well, surely there are more than four teams that have a chance to be the best team in the country. And they realized, well, there's probably more than five films, which are possibly the best film. So they expanded it to up to 10.
That's still ridiculous.
Well, let's see.
And some of them are still missing.
Well, and yeah, that's part of it, because in the past, films were missing that should have been in the list, and so they've upped it. I don't have any problem with them upping it to, I mean, 10 is pretty much pushing it. I don't think I would put it more than that.
I would not put it more than 10.
And then you dilute the brain power of some of the people voting for this, and you know, they probably can't handle five, let alone, well, looking at some of the past winners, they clearly couldn't handle five. So
I wanted to ask you this before we actually get into those Best Picture nominees. Because there is something missing from all of these nominations. Because movies that got in and got nominated include Blade Runner 2, 049, Star Wars The Last Jedi, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Kong, Planet of the Apes Part, 4, 5, 7,000, whatever. Mm-hmm. All of those got nominations, you know, not for Best Picture, but assorted throughout. Wonder Woman is not nominated for anything.
No, that's odd to me.
Give it a special effects or something. I would put it in Best Picture because you've only got nine, and you just said there's room for 10. Give it a nod.
I wouldn't have nominated it for Best Picture. I don't think it's one of the 10 best films.
It was a thought.
I probably would have nominated Ms. Patty for Best Director, though, even though that's still restricted to 5. It's a really good movie. I don't think it's a great movie. I mean, if I thought it was a great movie, then I would say, oh, it should be part of the 10. I don't think it's a great movie. For that kind of film, though, I mean, it did everything it's supposed to do. And it's a hell of an achievement to resurrect DC's. It certainly didn't have to resurrect DC's superhero universe financially, although it did a good job of that, too. But critically, it did. And for with fans, it did. And this is certainly a really good year to tell a story about women being empowered, if there ever was a good year for it. So lots of reasons that I can see that she should have been nominated as Best Director. But for it not to get any nods, like not even for cinematography or something, that's pretty bizarre, because there are some really great sequences in that film.
I'll agree.
Yeah, it's really strange that it didn't get a single nod. Pretty weird.
I'm very disappointed by that.
Yeah. I agree.
I want to see if you agree with this on this, too, because this was a movie that a lot of people liked, and it was nominated for a category I completely disagree with. Logan was nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay, which says to me that the Academy Award people don't read graphic novels either.
Did you really think they did? How many people that were involved in the nomination do you think read the source material? I'm guessing
for any of these categories, none.
Yeah, I was going to say the over-under would be 2 for me. Yeah, there's no way they even read that.
Yeah, so why was it nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay?
Well, the only reason because they know it's adapted, because it tells them in the credits it's adapted, and they like the screenplay. And I can get that.
Wonder Woman was adapted from a put her in.
I don't think Logan deserves. I mean, it's cool that a comic book movie gets a serious nomination as opposed to another special effects nomination. Right. So that's cool. But I think they did a terrible job of adapting the screenplay. And again, we've talked about this a few times. It has nothing to do that they didn't have the rights to use the Hulk, because they didn't have the rights to that character then, Hulk being a key element. Yep. It easily could have been a major villain within the X-Men universe. Would make zero difference whatsoever. And the fact that they changed the guilty party for a major crime, the fact that they changed that, I thought was a terrible decision. If they had adapted the book as written, that would have been a great movie. That would have made it one of the best films of the year to me.
I would have liked it then.
It's a really good movie. I mean, I like the movie a lot, but the fact that the story is much better the way it's written, because Logan has a much more interesting character arc if they had just followed the freaking book instead of changing things because, we don't want to make him look too bad, because that's the only freaking reason to change that.
Exactly.
Hello, the guy's an assassin. He's been an assassin for his entire career in Marvel. He's been a good guy for most of his career, too, but he's a killer. Always has been. And if you're making an R-rated Wolverine movie to wrap up the story, wouldn't this be the time, finally, to show Wolverine who he really is? And in the context of the story, the original story, it wasn't his fault.
Nope.
But carrying a lot of guilt for it, and that would have made the movie, I don't know, 6 times better, 80 times better. It would have had a lot more weight to it. It would have been a much better. It would have been a great movie instead of a really good movie. And to nominate this for adapted screenplay is like, this should be nominated for one of the worst freaking adaptations, because they screwed up. They absolutely screwed up some major elements of that story.
We'll give it a Razzie.
Yeah, it's an interesting story what they did, but they had a great source material, and then they didn't use it correctly.
No, not at, well, that goes along with any of the X-Men movies.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway. Which is sad, because, yeah, it's pretty stupid that they continue to do that. Anyway.
Meanwhile, What were your big takes from the Oscar nominations?
I like the list. Like I have not seen all of the films. I've seen 6 of the 9, which is at this point in the game is a pretty good record for me. I can see of the ones I've seen, I can see them all of them being nominated. We were talking in pre-pro. College Humor put out a list of a pretty funny list of true
movie posters.
True movie posters, and the post is simply called Oscar Bait. I just saw the post last night. Totally Oscar bait. Tom Hanks did not get a nomination, and he shouldn't have. He's excellent, but there's not. It's kind of a one note role, not performance, but role. So there's not that much for him to do as far as Tom Hanks is doing. I mean, no one is going to look at this and think, wow, this is better than he was in Philadelphia. It's like not even close, but it's just that's the role.
Right.
Meryl Streep is nominated again because she got a paycheck for appearing in a movie. Exactly. There is no earthly freaking reason for her to have been nominated for Best Actress in this film. Again, has nothing to do with Meryl Streep. It's the role. She has... It's an interesting character, but it's not a great character. Not as portrayed in this movie. You want me to get into it a little more at this point, or move on to... Okay. I really like the movie. I mean, I did. It's a really good movie. I don't think it's the best movie. Is it one of the 9 best? I'd say it's certainly one of the 9 best I saw last year, including tons that aren't on this list. It tells an incredibly important story right now because it's about kind of a powerful administration, namely the presidency, fighting back against freedom of the press. I mean, could hardly be more timely, which is exactly why Spielberg made this movie. It's a not so subtle message to people who are railing about fake news. For those
Whoever
who don't
could
know,
you be referring to?
Hmm. Yeah. For those who don't know, it's about the release of the Pentagon Papers, which happened back in the 70s. And I'm sure a lot of people don't realize the story. Basically, there was a whistleblower who released a study that had been commissioned by the Secretary of Defense about everything that the government had known, written, said about the Vietnam War. And it went all the way back to Truman. And basically, the gist of it was, we can't win this war. And he was kind of upset that we were continuing to fight this war years after everyone admitted we couldn't win it. And the main reason it was given in one particular description was 70% of the reason that we needed to keep fighting is just to save face so we wouldn't look bad. And as I was telling a friend of mine last night, as Bill Murray famously said in Stripes, we're 10-1. It's like, it's still a good record. They could have been fine just getting out instead of worrying about peace with honor, as Nixon proclaimed, and all that other BS. Anyway, so it's about the fight of the press versus the presidency of the United States. And Katharine Graham was the publisher of the Post and basically inherited the role when her husband, who had been the publisher, died, and she was thrust into this. So it's about freedom of the press versus the government. Also, it's about the empowerment of women, because constantly through the film, she's just kind of, they try to shunt her aside because, oh, she's a woman, she doesn't know what's going on kind of stuff. And she just kind of takes it and takes it and takes it. And finally, there's a scene where she fights back. But it's a great scene, but it's not overly dramatic. I mean, it shouldn't be. But again, it's just in the context of the film, it perfectly works. But it's not a breakout performance by any means, which would be pretty hard when you're Meryl Streep, obviously.
I was just say, hang on a minute.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's just, it's such an easy role for her. I mean, it's very well acted, but there's no way she had to challenge herself for this. None. And then granted, I'm not sure what it takes for Meryl Streep to challenge herself, but what other actresses had to do in their films, much stronger work than what she was required to do in the Post. That's all I'm saying. There's nothing to do with her. It has to do with the role. There is one scene, though, towards the end of the film where she's walking down some steps and there's just a sea of women that she's walking through and they're all looking at her with admiration for standing up to the society, basically. That's a great scene, except it's Oscar bait. It's like, oh, I'm going to film this scene where all these women, for no freaking reason, there are only women in this one particular part of the steps, and she chooses to walk through this group of women.
It's because randomly. Those are all the women who were cut out of the Star Wars version
Yeah. And I mean, it's a cool scene, but to me, it's so freaking artificial. It's just as like, well, I'm going to throw this in so people can feel how empowered all these women feel from her. It's like, there could have been a better way to do that, Mr. Spielberg. Yeah, like he should take directing tips from me. Obviously, that's stupid. But that seemed kind of false to me. That didn't really quite work. It was such an obvious setup. And there was no way for it to be. And it wasn't like, okay, the women have to stand over here. It just happened, and it was pretty odd that it happened the way it did, because they didn't expect her to walk down that. It wasn't like they were all waiting for her. They just happened to be there. Anyway, overall, it's a really, really good movie. I really enjoyed it. But best picture, sure. Best actress nomination for her, no. And if she wins, I will be almost as pissed off as I was last year when Denzel didn't win best actor.
Well, who would get lead actress for you then? Because she's up against, and I'm going to mispronounce it, Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird.
Saoirse.
Pardon?
Saoirse Ronan.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, okay.
Saoirse Ronan, Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards, and Sally Hawkins for The Shape of Water.
I haven't seen I, Tonya yet, or as College Humor put it, I, Margot. I totally deserve something better than Suicide Squad. and that is their poster, which is awesome. I love that poster. So I haven't seen that yet, so I can't say whether she should win or not. I did see the others. Shape of Water, Sally Hawkins is great. I mean, she really is. Absolutely deserves the nomination. If she wins, that's cool. I'm still torn between whether it should be Frances McDormand in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Mississippi, because she's fantastic. Missouri. Whatever. Same thing. It's one of those M states in the middle.
Yeah,
no, I know.
It's, yeah.
Anyway, that's a terrible thing to say. I apologize. And and Miss Ronan in Lady Bird, because she is awesome also. Unlike Meryl Streep in The Post, they were really stretched in those movies. I kind of go with McDormand on this. I because to me it's a
harder role.
She's dealing. I'm not sure if it would be a harder role, but it's certainly a really difficult role. But one of the things that stood out to me is just her physical appearance, because actresses, and it's getting better in Hollywood. But typically, it seems like unless your name is Meryl Streep, if you're over 35, you're in trouble. By the time you're in 40, you're really in trouble, and it's definitely getting better. Like Frances McDormand, for instance, Jessica Lange. I mean, more and more actresses, they're getting decent roles into what would be, if they were actors, male actors, would be just hitting their prime as opposed to retirement age. So, but she does not look particularly great in this film. She looks like an average, not that she looks terrible, she looks like an average person. And it's not that often that you see actresses just look like regular people. Exactly. Yeah. And she was said, either she said or she agreed, whichever, but this is what the role needs. And that's what she went with. That's pretty brave even now, I think. So to me, she gets a little bit of extra credit for that. And she's a fantastic actress, and it's a great role. And again, if Sally Hawkins wins for The Shape of Water, I'll be fine. If Saoirse Ronan wins for Lady Bird, I'll be more than fine. But I guess if I actually had a vote, which would be probably a mistake, a criminal mistake, someone would go to jail for that, not just me. McDormand should win. But if you ask me 2 hours later, I could very well say Saoirse Ronan. But definitely... not
2 hours Street. Later is enough time to see I, Tonya, so it could be
Margot exactly, Robbie. And it certainly could be Margot Robbie, because I mean she has done some really really good work in the past, which is cool.
Yeah, how about lead actor, where we've got Timothy Chalamet for Call Me by Your Name, Daniel Day-Lewis for The Phantom Thread, Daniel Kaluuya for Get Out, Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour, and Denzel Washington for, I'm sorry, it's still a weird name for me. Roman J. Israel Esquire.
It is a weird title.
Bill S. Preston. What?
I've only seen one of those movies, Get Out. He does a great job in that, honestly. And I may get a chance to catch Oldman. I may get a chance to catch two or three of the others. I would just vote for Denzel because I've never seen him turn in the. And exactly, it's payback for not getting it last year, and it wouldn't be the first time that the Academy Awards has given someone payback for screwing up in the past. From the clips I saw, he's fantastic, and come on, well, it's Denzel.
When is he not?
Exactly, it's Denzel, and it's like Meryl Streep. The question is, does this role push him that much? I really doubt that it pushes him like Fences did, because that was freaking amazing. That's why I was so pissed, because to me, that's the best performance he's ever given. Absolutely the best, and that encompasses some incredible work. So when he didn't win, it's like, oh my God, that's just awful. So I would love to see him win this time. I would love to see him win this time. Overall, it really seems like it's either going to be him or Oldman, and I think Oldman probably has the... And Oldman is deserving numerous times in the past because, again, an awesome actor.
How about Best Picture?
Best Picture. Why did that thing pop up?
Damn you, pop-up windows.
I have a feeling it's going to be Three Billboards because it kind of hits all the check marks for what the Oscars like. I think Dunkirk and Darkest Hour are going to cancel each other out because, which Dunkirk movie did you vote for? Did you vote for the one on the scene or behind the scenes? And people are going to get confused.
Right.
Get Out, I think, is too out there and unusual. And I don't think it was the best picture last year. I really, really liked it.
Although I think it was out of all of these, I think it's the one that made the most money.
Probably. Although Dunkirk might have come close. It's certainly the one that made the most profit.
Right.
Because Jordan Peele made it for like $18 and change or something. I mean, it has actually had a decent budget, but yeah.
Actually, you mentioned Jordan Peele. His news this week is he's retired from acting to focus on directing. I was trying to figure out how to fit that into the show, and I'm like, I hope he mentions him so I can throw that in.
Oh, he'll come back.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
He'll come back. I mean, he can't retire from acting. Jeez. I mean, I'm glad that he's going to. I'm glad. Seems like that, doesn't it? I'm glad he's focusing on directing because that's awesome news.
He's very good at it.
Yeah, he needs to keep on working. I mean, Get Out is just a weird, almost uncategorizable movie. I mean, it's not a horror film to me. That's what most people put under, but it's
I think it's because it was creepy enough.
Yeah, it's a horror thriller, dark comedy, satire, action piece. I mean, it's a really strange movie, and that's exactly what he wanted to do, and it works on all those levels, which is why it's nominated, why it might win, but I don't think it will.
Yeah.
And Three Billboards, it's a message movie, has great performances. Three people are nominated. The three lead characters are all nominated for their performances, so I think it's going to wind up being Three Billboards. But I would be really thrilled to see The Shape of Water win, too, because it's a weird, weird movie. And like Get Out, it does exactly what he set out to do.
I'll agree with you. For lack of seeing a lot of these other movies, but I will agree with you on that.
Yay.
Unfortunately, I have seen more of the nominations for Worst Picture in the Razzie movies.
I may have too.
The Razzies were also the nominations were also released this week. The Transformers, go figure, leads with 9 nominations.
Well, thank God I did not see that.
Including Worst Picture. Yeah, I haven't either. But I saw the list of Worst Picture, and there's only 5.
Old school.
And one, I think, doesn't fit.
Really?
Because the nominations for Worst Picture are Baywatch, duh, The Emoji Movie, which is, as far as I'm concerned, the odds-on favorite, 50 Shades Darker, Transformers The Last Night, and The Mummy.
Hmm.
Now, for me, I've seen The Mummy. Twice, actually. And I realize it was probably the most disappointing movie because it killed off, I think, the entire Dark Universal reboot of all the old monster movies.
Exactly.
But I don't think it was horrible enough to be put on a worst picture list because it wasn't hideous. It just didn't live up to its hype. I'm wondering why that's on the list and not something like, let's say chips.
Yeah.
Which just the trailer enough was enough to make me nauseous. So, yeah. Do you think The Mummy should have been a worst picture?
Well, I haven't seen it, but just from the trailer, obviously from what you're saying, from the reviews, there's no way that it should be one of the five worst films. Because like you said, there were...
You can put Tom Cruise on worst actor list. That's fine, but you know.
There were lots of terrible movies last year. Yes. And exactly like you said, The Mummy, it's like you said, it might be the most disappointing. But I'm looking at, let's look at IMDb. Okay, the third worst rated film on Metascore is 50 Shades Darker. What about Power Rangers? That was kind of disappointing because does anybody even remember when that freaking thing even opened? Wow.
March? What? Question mark?
Rings. Rings was awful. I saw Rings. That movie was utter garbage. Okay. The Circle. Haven't seen The Circle, even though it's been free for like 6 weeks now on Amazon Prime.
I have.
And? You had said, I remember before you were talking about it.
It wasn't hideous, but this is where Tom Hanks comes in. Okay. It wasn't a hideous movie, but, you know, I don't think it would be nominated for Worst Picture.
You know, Geostorm.
There's another one.
I mean, there were lots of
a lot of bad movies.
A lot of bad movies. And for them to jump, Going in Style, just the clips for Going in Style looked freaking terrible. Man, they're a crap load of bad movies last year. I really don't see putting The Mummy in that category. No. Like you said, one of the five biggest disappointments. Oh, absolutely.
It killed off the top of the list.
Yeah, it killed off what possibly could have been $3-5 billion worth of revenue down the line. That kind of hurts. But worst movies?
Damn you, Tom Cruise.
No.
It's not Tom Cruise's fault. It was the script.
Ghost in the Shell. Wouldn't you put that ahead of The Mummy? I know you would.
Oh, son of a bitch. How did I not put that on the list?
It's one of those things. I've done the same thing. It's like we talk about something, then it's like, oh, my God, I forgot. Yeah.
I'm actually just finished watching the TV series again yesterday because the TV series is awesome. And to make a movie like that where they just go, okay, we can make this iconic looking scene from the TV show or the original anime or the graphic novels and then have it she's standing here because it looks good, not because there's actual context for it. You know, and don't do that. Bad idea. Although Scarlett Johansson looks spectacular everywhere she wants to be anyway, but no. One of the other Razzie categories. I'll get that word out eventually. Worst on-screen combo.
Oh, nice.
Which I like this category. And the top three actually one I don't think needed to be there. Johnny Depp and his worn-out drunk pirate routine.
That's not a combo.
That's not really... It's Johnny Depp. And it's Pirates of the Caribbean. That's what the character is. So, of course, he's a drunk pirate. Hello. Right.
And I haven't accomplished. Seen it yet, but did you not say that was the best film in the series since the first one?
Right.
And a lot
best
of people.
Of the entire series because it tied everything up and, hey, we're done now. Stop making them.
And pretty much everyone has said that. So that's not a particularly good nomination. Rest of that, Razzie.
The top two, I suppose, in worst on-screen combo. Any combination of two characters, two sex toys, or two sexual positions in 50 Shades Darker. Wow. That's one way of putting it.
Those movies look very unappealing to me, and not because of the subject matter. It's just they don't look appealing. They don't look like it looks like there's zero chemistry between the actors.
I've heard.
And it just in the clips. I mean, do they look like they are having anything other than a business meeting at any point? It's just, it just looks boring as hell. Anyway, I totally see that.
But the worst on-screen combo, any two things in the Emoji Movie.
Wow. They really did not like that film.
No, it's in every category.
Almost it makes really me want to watch it just to see if it's really that terrible. Because I did watch a movie that I expected to be terrible, and it wasn't. Uh-oh. And we'll get to that at some point. But
okay,
yeah, that makes me want to see the Emoji Movie and just see. It's like, okay, to fulfill our motto, we watch movies so you don't have to. Yeah. Although I don't think anyone is watching that movie except the lucky people in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, poor people in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, really.
Moving on to other movie news, of which there is quite a bit this week. There's a movie that is going to be made that I see being on the Razzie list someday.
Lovely.
John Cena, and right there alone should put it on the list, is in talks to play Duke Nukem. So much for the PG era of the WWE. Are you familiar with Duke Nukem, the video game series?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, hello. I've only played a demo of it.
I can totally see.
I ended up in a strip bar.
Yeah, I can totally see him playing Duke Nukem easily. I mean, because it doesn't probably require tons of acting talent. And he's personable, and he does his promos well, which, of course, that's acting. You know, he certainly will be serviceable. I mean, he's done, I think, what, three or four movies now so far? So he's done quite a few,
I think. He's done like 10.
Wow. Okay. Well, thankfully, I've missed most of those, or all of them.
Well, yeah.
But I think that's awesome. He looks like he fits, and I'm sure he'll be fun. And frankly, The Rock needs a week off, right? Because he's making every other damn action movie. So, you know, good. But eventually, what we need, though, we need The Rock and John Cena in a movie. That would be a lot of fun. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Lethal Weapon 8.
Jesus, that's terrifying, but it could totally work. It could totally work.
Another movie I see being nominated is for a Razzie. I've seen two trailers for this movie, and it already deserves the nomination for worst soundtrack ever.
Wow.
Pacific Rim 2. Just because, I like I said, there's two trailers, two different songs. I heard a total of four lyrics. It's the same. The soundtrack is horrible. It looks like it'd be a good movie. I just hope it has songs with lyrics, or better yet, instrumentals, because the songs that I've heard are just horrible.
Hopefully they're trailer only, which happens a lot. So
I hope so. I really do.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that film. Very much looking forward to it. Not so much the soundtrack so far.
Yeah, here's a movie I am looking forward to. They're finally getting around to making a Black Widow movie. Because it took them long enough.
Yeah.
Now, one of the big things that's come out of this announcement is not that they're making it. We knew they were going to eventually anyway. Because Marvel needs a female-centric hero other than Captain Marvel. Of which a picture was released this week, and she looks kind of eh. Anyway. When they make the Black Widow movie, Scarlett Johansson is supposed to be getting a $25 million payday.
That's nice.
With an extra $6 million in bonuses.
Also nice.
Yeah. Do you think that a Black Widow movie would make a better female-centric movie than the Wonder Woman movie did?
No. They need to make the Black Widow movie, and they've needed to make the Black Widow movie since
Iron Man 2,
exactly. And it's sad that they're going with Captain Marvel before Black Widow gets a movie. I'm super happy they're making Captain Marvel, but hello, you established this character like in 1914, it seems like. Wonder Woman is a different kind of character, despite the fact that she can be a little violent. Definitely a better role model. As far as that goes, then, and then an assassin who constantly double crosses people throughout her existence as a character. I hope that they kind of go with the dark side to some extent in the Black Widow film. I would actually think it would be really cool if they do a prequel and she's something of a villain. I would love to see
She started out as a villain in the books. Do it.
Yeah, exactly. I want to see that story. I want to see Hawkeye chasing after her. And I want to see that story. That would be terrific. And then the sequel. Hopefully Scarlett Johansson won't be 50 by the time they get around to doing that. And 50 is okay, but if she might be, her bones might be creaking, kind of like Robert Downey Jr. Then they can do, the redemption of the Black Widow film, whatever they want to call it. I would love to see that. They probably won't, but I would love to see that. That would be awesome. And Scarlett Johansson is a great freaking actress. We talked about before. Some roles you have to stretch. She obviously doesn't have to stretch to do the Black Widow, not so far. But this gives them the opportunity to really make this literally, they can make this a great movie. Like Logan had the chance to be a great movie. I would love that. I hope it's more than the typical Marvel movie, which is only wildly entertaining and makes me super happy. So I'm not going to be really disappointed if they make a typical Marvel movie, because they're basically all awesome and fun. But I would hope, because this character, they have a chance to do something really interesting and really cool and still make a wildly entertaining movie. So it'd be interesting to see what they do. Now that they're finally getting around to it, I hope they give it their best effort and really make something cool, because they can. They can totally make something very, very interesting. And I'd love to see Jeremy Renner in it as Hawkeye at some point. I think that would be very cool, too.
I'll agree.
Anyway.
I can go two different directions. Do we want to continue with Marvel or move over to DC for a minute?
No, let's go with Marvel and then we'll jump to DC.
The only other Marvel news I've got this week regards a massive complaint that has been registered concerning the Black Panther movie. Now, bear with me on this.
Really?
The complaint is that not a single frame was shot in Africa. The movie was mostly shot in Atlanta and South Korea. The jungle scenes were filmed in Argentina. So much for African pride. Now, the best response to this I have seen so far is, regarding the Star Wars movie, not a single frame was shot in space.
Well, that's not really... It's funny, but it's
comeback.
Yeah, but it's kind of impractical to shoot in space, and obviously they could have filmed in Africa.
But at the same time, a lot of the things that they're filming for Wakanda, which is the fictional, it's fictional Donald Trump. Wakanda
exactly.
is not real. The fictional country in Africa, the way that country is set up, Africa doesn't look like that.
Right. Just to say, Africa doesn't have those cliffs and a little different. It's a different setup. So I can totally
that
see
kind
why.
Of jungle doesn't exist there.
Could they have filmed some in Africa? Sure. And probably would have been cool if they had done that to help the economy. But it certainly wouldn't have helped the economy of Wakanda, because there is no Wakanda.
And it's rich enough as it is, apparently.
It's Wakanda doesn't need the money. I guess I can kind of see the criticism to some point, but that's pretty minor. But it's not like it's set in Botswana or some real location.
Right.
Which, unlike most of the Marvel things, which are, they're in New York or wherever.
Right. Not a single frame of Ragnarok was filmed on Asgard.
I'm much happier with the fact that the cast apparently has more than a few black people in it, because it should.
Hello.
Happy that the pre-sale for the tickets are amazing. The last estimate I heard is they're looking at maybe 120 million opening weekend. Pretty freaking strong.
I saw something where one of the actors tried to get a ticket through a pre-sale and couldn't because it was sold out.
Yeah, exactly. Lupita. One of the co-stars. So that's very, very cool. I'm really looking forward to that movie. The previews look so good. And previews have lied to us in the past. That's quite true.
Ghost in the Shell, you bastards.
But typically they don't lie to us for Marvel films. So I'm really looking forward to this movie. This movie looks so, so cool. And it's coming in just, 2.5 weeks? So
that sounds about right.
Or
Yay.
Two? Yeah, the 12th, I think. Anyway, okay. On to DC.
Moving on to Wonder Woman, where they're going to start filming for the late 2019 release, starting in a couple of weeks, actually. But the Wonder Woman sequel is going to be the first film production to implement a newly released set of guidelines by the Producers Guild of America. And the purpose of them is to prevent and deal with sexual harassment on film sets. Now, the article I read raised two questions in my mind. The first one was because of this quote at the end. It follows in the wake of the first Wonder Woman partly being funded by Rat Pack / Dune Entertainment, whose owner Brett Ratner was accused of sexual harassment by a number of women, including Ellen Page. Here's my question on that. Where the hell was Ellen Page in the Wonder Woman movie?
Nowhere. I'm sure this is from a previous...
I know that she had things against him before, but, you know, if you're talking about Wonder Woman and all of a sudden to throw another actress in, it's kind of like, you know, the director of The Godfather had sexual harassment charges brought against him by the Olsen twins. What the... No.
I think it's just from the prior, complaint.
I get that, but
yeah, that
that's
is kind
just
of
a writing thing that irks me.
Because the name recognition, I'm sure that's the only reason they did that.
Because putting Gal Gadot's name there would have made too much sense. the other thing is, why are they waiting until they start Wonder Woman 2 to put these in action?
That's a really good question.
That was my main question. The other one was silly. I'll take that.
But. That's the main question for sure. Nice symbolic move, but why isn't that in place now for everything?
I don't know.
Yeah.
They didn't say.
I did want to go back to the salary because that reminds me of another story. I just thought about the salary for Scarlett Johansson, expected to make $25 million and et cetera, et cetera. Hopefully, there aren't any stories coming out saying, well, Robert Downey Jr., because reportedly he's being paid a mere $200 million for the Infinity War films. So $100 million apiece is what his salary.
What?
That's what a report is that came out a while ago. Regardless, I know that he had been paid, I think, $75 million. So regardless, he's been paying a heck of a lot more money than Scarlett Johansson. And I'm sure some people will come out and say, well, why is the guy making so much money and she's only making this? Because there's a huge difference between their importance to Marvel Studios. Has nothing to do with the roles they're playing, has everything to do with the money. Robert Downey Jr. was the star of the films that launched Marvel Studios to be successful. It wasn't either of the Hulk films. And I know the first one wasn't Marvel Studios, but the second one was, and that was not a huge financial success. Iron Man was, and that's almost entirely, well, okay, I can't say almost entirely because maybe the director had a little bit to do with that, like half of it. But Robert Downey Jr. deserves a huge amount of the credit. Scarlett Johansson, as great as she is in those movies, is not the reason that Marvel Studios worked. Robert Downey Jr. does have a big part of that reason. That's why he got paid more money. It reminds me of a story that came out. The comic Monique was suggesting everybody boycott Netflix because they offered $500,000 to do a comedy special for Netflix. And she realized that Dave Chappelle and Amy Schumer were offered millions to do specials. She felt slighted, like, well, okay, because I'm a black woman, you're paying me much less. Like, okay, but they played a black man much more and they played a woman much more. Maybe it has more to the fact that people are much more interested in watching those two people than you. I mean, I've seen some of her act on television. She's okay, but I don't think she's even one of the top 50 comics. That's probably why they only offered you $500,000 freaking dollars and you're complaining and you want people to boycott it because you were treated unfairly.
Instead, give me the money.
Yeah, it's like, you got to be kidding me. You're not going to get the same money as Dave Chappelle, freak. You've got to be kidding me. Amy Schumer, I don't particularly find funny. I think Monique is funnier than Amy Schumer. So for that, okay, fine. Make more money than Amy Schumer. But it's all about ratings expectations. That's what it's about. It has nothing to do with your worth. same thing as with Scarlett Johansson. I doubt that Scarlett Johansson is going to complain about getting only $25 million, but I'm sure at some point someone will write an article about, oh, this is unjust.
I know there is some inequality going on, but
oh, absolutely.
There are other things that go along with it.
Absolutely, there's inequality. Like when you talked about the story months ago, the situation on the TV show of Hawaii Five-0.
Right.
You know, and it's like they weren't paid the same. It's like, well, okay, they're not the leads. And it turned out they were making they were making 10% is what the leads were making.
Yeah.
It was something ridiculous like that. It's like, okay, I can see, no, they don't deserve maybe the same amount of money, but they sure deserve a hell of a lot more than 10%. Yeah, there's tons of inequality going on. But to say that, oh, you know, you paid Dave Chappelle more is like, duh. The guy hadn't done a comedy show in years. There's probably a little bit of pent-up demand for that, and there's not so much for you. So people need to back off on this whole, oh, this is unjust. It's like, no, sometimes it's simple economics. It's like, you don't deserve that. So calm down with your ridiculous boycott. Take your meager $500,000 and do the damn special. And if people tune in, next time they'll offer you a crap load of money. That's how things work. I don't understand how this woman has been in show business and not figured that out, that people are paid according to their drawing power.
Yeah.
Jesus. Anyway.
Speaking of drawing power, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Boy, this is a subject change. Woo. I mentioned the Micronauts TV series.
That is a subject change.
Thank you. The Hasbro deal that they made with Paramount, and how they were supposed to be making shows for Mask and ROM as well. And I wanted to see the ROM series, and both Mask and ROM have been killed.
Wow.
No one knows why.
That's
but they are making a lot of things that I don't think need to be made. This has to be a recurring segment of the show because it happens every week. Remakes, rehashes, and regurgitations. The list this week of just crap that didn't need to be made. Maybe some does. I don't know. Jumanji 2 or 3, I suppose, depending on your point of view. they set a new release date for Christmas 2019, which puts it up against Star Wars Episode 9. Brilliant idea. When they made this announcement, I loved that they've put in it, Jumanji is the highest grossing non-Spider-Man Sony film.
Yeah.
Wow, that's specific and weird.
It's quite specific.
Men in Black is coming back, only it's not another sequel. It's a reboot because, you know, it's only been, what, 5-6 years since the last one?
Well, looking at Spider-Man, I mean, we're on our third reboot already. So
yeah, but they did it right the third time.
Yeah, maybe so. They'll. Yeah, that's kind of odd. I'd rather see. Actually, I don't really want to see a Men in Black reboot. I was going to say I'd rather see that than Bright.
Ouch. And yet, RoboCop. They're supposed to be doing with that what they're doing with the Halloween movies, which is making a sequel to the original movie and ignoring all the other previous sequels.
Good. Including the reboot, I hope.
Yes.
Yeah, excellent.
This one I thought was very interesting. There's a remake of the iconic 1970s classic Superfly, which they said they set the ambitious release date of June 15th, 2018.
That's
and the next sentence was, writer Alex Say is working on the script now.
That's pretty ambitious if they're just working on the script. Guerrilla filmmaking at its finest.
Wow.
That's quick.
Any 4 months, run.
Any comments on the lead?
No.
Hmm,
no casting. Just Alex, I'm guessing it's Say, T-S-E, however you want to pronounce that. And it's being directed by, and I'm not making this name up either, because I don't think I could, Director X.
Ah, I like it. Director X.
That's kind of like Racer X from Speed Racer, I guess.
Director X.
Let's see. ABC has picked up the pilot for the female-led reboot of The Greatest American Hero. Interested?
Maybe. I like the show a lot. And then at least that's been more than 2 weeks since that was the first on. So, yeah, that was a cool show.
Warner Animation has announced that they're creating a computer-generated Seussiverse. Mm. With the first animated film being The Cat in the Hat.
Mm.
Where the cat is supposed to wander through all the other Dr. Seuss stories at some point.
Mm.
In a computer-generated form.
Mm.
It's not Mike Myers.
Yeah.
That's check mark number one.
The last good Dr. Seuss movie I can think of is The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, which came out in the 50s.
Hang on a minute. The Grinch animated movie came out after
that. Oh, yeah, the Grinch animated movie. But that's the thing. Is it going to be short?
They did not say. They made it. They kind of implied that the Cat in the Hat movie would be a full-length movie, direct-to-video.
It's kind of what it sounds like, because it's going to wander through all the other stories, and which, why wouldn't you just do the stories?
In multiple movies.
And make a lot more money and make more interesting, better movies instead of, again, take brilliant source material and let's rework it because we're geniuses. That usually doesn't work.
No.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled at all about that.
CBS has picked up two pilots, one for Murphy Brown, and they've ordered 13 episodes of that, and they're bringing back Cagney and Lacey, too.
Cagney and Lacey. No time like the present. Certainly, I can see why they're bringing those back. Murphy Brown, I can totally see why they're bringing that back.
I can see working today.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, that's what Murphy Brown was about when Murphy Brown was on.
Same cast, by the way, this is going to sound horrible, if they're still living.
Yeah.
You know, they lost at least one member.
No, I know it's been more than a few weeks since that show was on, too. Cagney and Lacey kind of surprises me a bit, but that was a cool show. I'm curious what the casting will be with Cagney and Lacey, though.
I'm waiting for Automan to be remade.
That one you may have a little bit of a longer wait.
I know. It's very disappointing. Did catch the new to Netflix thing that's coming up because they change at the beginning of the months. And they wrote out a few of the titles in their alphabetical list. So it came out because the numbers in these movies are spelled out. It came out as Ocean's 11, Ocean's 13, Ocean's 12. So Yoda doing the numbering, he is. you could at least look at that before you put it out. But I'm sorry, I get giggly when I read this because I think it's very funny. One of the movies that is leaving is a stand-up special from Aziz Ansari. Now, it's not leaving because of the sexual allegations. Although, it's just because it's time for it to be rotated out. Now, we talked last week about what Aziz Ansari did on his date that got him in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That being fellating his date. The special that's leaving is Aziz Ansari's Dangerously Delicious. And I just thought that, you know what? It can stay as long as you change the name.
No, it should totally stay with that name. They should renew it. They should renew it for the year.
Wow.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So moving on from that, let's see, what else do we have this week? The New Mutants movie, which was moved back another 10 months. They said they're going to make it the hardest PG-13 movie ever. Whatever that's supposed to mean. They said the big thing, though, is that none of the New Mutants will have their costumes. That's what makes this superhero movie different. I'm like, have you seen any of the Wolverine movies? He does not wear his costume in any of them. I'm including the X-Men movies. Never wore it.
If they're proudest of the fact that the characters are not going to wear costumes, if that's their big selling point, this thing is already in huge trouble.
I'll agree.
Wow. This is what you're hanging your hat on for the success of the films? Like, look, we're different. We don't have costumes. Holy. Yeah. Wow. I think hopefully they are delayed for 10 months because they've just fired everybody involved with it. Because if that's what they think is going to make this work, oh, wow, that's awful. But totally fits in with basically all of the X-Men work that Fox has done in the past. So maybe they pushed it back 10 months because Marvel is actually getting involved and letting them know, oh, this is how you make movies. I mean, yes, they have done some good work, but for the most part, they've kind of screwed the pooch. So
let's see, we're running out of time, but I think we can squeeze one review in.
Squeeze. Okay.
Or maybe not. I saw a movie this week that I was not entirely sure I would like because of the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Batman, Gotham by Gaslight.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I'm excited.
Yeah, seeing? Yeah. Saving a big thing for the end. The trailer showed it's an animated DC movie. Don't let that dissuade you from seeing it. It showed the art and animation style of The Batman, which was the follow-up to the animated series, which came out in like 2004. Wasn't as good, in my opinion, but at the same time, it wasn't, Dexter's Laboratory. And the DC animated movies are usually much better than that, in my opinion, as far as art and animation goes. It's not bad, but I wanted better. Now, going into it, I was unfamiliar with the graphic novel this was based on, which is basically Batman set in the early 1900s, Batman versus Jack the Ripper, which sounds like a cool idea.
It does.
And the way it's set up, you kind of know going in that we're going to find out who Jack the Ripper really is. And I'm not going to tell you because that would be a spoiler. But it did come as a surprise to me as to who it was, because they really made it look like it's this guy. Yeah, it's this guy. It's him. You know it's him. You watch it. It's him over there? What? Really? Ooh, okay. Clever of you. Just wasn't expecting the big plot twist, but it worked. Very happy with it. So nice. If you haven't read the books, don't yet. Watch this first. There's a lot of other Bat characters in it. Selina Kyle, Catwoman, is, frankly, she's a bit of a hoe. But she's a likable character, and she's kind of a good guy, so that's fine. Several other Bat villains show up if you know their real names. Like there's a prison fight scene against a big guy named Cyrus Gold. But it's the 19th century, so Cyrus Gold hasn't made his transformation into Solomon Grundy. Ooh,
nice.
Nifty catch. There's these three scallywag children that are following Batman around periodically. They're not in costume. They're three homeless orphans named Dick, Jason, and Tim.
Interesting.
Which, it could be a groaner reference to the Robins, which is who they are. But it was subtle enough that you don't mind. You know, it's okay. So overall, really, is this the best DC animated movie? No. Is it better than Batman and Harley Quinn? Hell yes. Absolutely. Scribblings I made earlier were better than Batman and Harley. So is Batman Gotham by Gaslight worth a watch? Absolutely. Probably twice so you can catch everything. It's really good. It's not up to Flashpoint or even Justice League War, I thought was really good.
Yeah.
But this is still a very good movie. So go get the DVD or watch it on, I'm sure it's going to be on Netflix soon, if it isn't already. Buy it from iTunes.
Yeah, I think so. I was going to ask if Harvey Dent is in it, and he is. So
he is. There's a lot of people in it. You've got your Commissioner Gordon. You've got another. I don't think Penguin is in it. But I think there's a couple Riddler references. I think there's a couple of Joker references.
Cool.
Alfred is in it. Duh. Kind of has to be, I think.
Yeah. Nice. So,
very good. Something to go see.
Beautiful.
As opposed to the rest of the show, of which I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
I don't have anything else, but it is interesting that Bruce Greenwood plays the voice of Batman in this. Because
sounds very good.
He played Bob McNamara in The Post, so there you go.
Hey, The show has now come full circle, meaning it's time to end, and we'll see you next week.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.